Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is from Mark 12, the last four verses, 41 through 44. Let us read those verses first. Mark 12, from verse 41. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that are rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So far. Christ commenting on the widow's gift. Two thoughts, the widow's gift, and secondly, Christ comments. Christ commenting on the widow's gift, the widow's gift, and Christ comments. Congregation, young people, I think it's on a Wednesday. The Wednesday in the Passion Week, and the Lord Jesus has been very busy with talking to the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the priests, the elders, and there was tension in the air. It wasn't easy, and the Lord Jesus was so blunt. He addressed the issue of hypocrisy. That's why the Lord Jesus told the parable of that vineyard, remember? It was an owner of the vineyard, and he did not do the work himself, but he came every year to receive the rent, and he sent his messengers, his servants, and they wounded him. And he sent another one, and they killed him. And finally he sent his own son, and they said, this is the heir. Let us kill him, then the vineyard is ours. And they perceived. They understood he was talking about them. And they got so mad. They wanted to kill him. But they were afraid of the people, so they couldn't. Or they tried to tempt him and say, should we pay tribute, taxes to the Caesar or not? And he said, well, give me a coin. Whose image is that? A Caesar's image. Well, give Caesar's what is of Caesar's and give God what is God's. And they were stunned about his answers. But then especially from verse 38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Be careful with those people, the scribes. Watch it. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love the salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feast which devour widows. Houses. And for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And the contrast. Oh, they loved their clothing. They made sure they looked good, impressive, the long garments. And they loved the salutation, the people in the marketplace would say, Rabbi, good morning, Rabbi. They loved all the attention. And they loved the chief seats in the synagogues, right? Important place. They were important people, they thought. And worthy. So worthy of a special seat in church. But in the meantime, they devoured widows' houses. They did not care for the poor and for the widows, as they were supposed to. They didn't do that. Hypocrisy. And for a pretense, made long prayers. Long prayers so people could hear them. And on the corner of the street, they prayed so that we could see them and glorify them. And it felt so good. These shall receive greater damnation. That's still true. That some receive damnation and others even greater damnation, more damnation, dependent on your life and dependent on how much dung there is around your tree. More tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the cities that the Lord Jesus worked and preached so often. Greater damnation than is just a show. And our religion is a show. It's not real. It's a form, an altered form of godliness. There's no power in there. There's no love. There's no life in it. Is that our life? Is that our religion, this outer religion? Careful, don't do this. We can't do that. We're not used to that. That's wrong. And maybe you're right. But that's all it, all there is. Only the rules. And then being proud of yourself a little bit. You're not like those people. Like those poor widows and the sinners and the publicans. So the Lord Jesus has been talking that entire Wednesday, and he has been close to the temple. And now I see the Lord Jesus in the women's court. What is that? Well, you know it was the most holy place, the ark, right? The ark, with that curtain in front of it. And in front of that was the holy place with the altar of incense and the candlestick. And then outside was the burnt offering altar in the court. And in front of that court was the general court, where also the women could come and the children. And there was a gate to that court called the Beautiful Gate. So through the Beautiful Gate, through the women's court, through the temple court. Now I'm standing in the gate of the women's court. And look to the right, look to the left. And I see six receptacles on the left and seven receptacles on the right. There are special trumpet-shaped chests or receptacles so people could donate to the church. And it was written on there, on those receptacles, what it was for. This is for the wood. For the wood? For the wood for the sacrifices to burn the altars. And one was for incense, and one other one was for the poor people who couldn't afford some doves themselves and just donated some money so they could eventually, at the end of the day, buy more doves and sacrifice them. There were 13 of them. And the Lord Jesus sat close to the gate, I suppose, and looked at all those people donating money. Not banknotes. There was nothing else but coins. And some people threw in one coin after the other. And some to all 13 receptacles. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. And he looked. You say, that's not proper. Just don't look how much people give. That's their business. That's private. Don't look. That's awful. Just look the other way, Lord Jesus. Let those people just give what they want to. Don't get involved. But the Lord Jesus did. And I suppose many didn't even mind because it was something that was done openly. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, sitting and beheld. Look, how? That's an interesting word, how? How do people cast money? Not only how much, but also how, because he could look at the heart. How the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. That's good. You know, some millionaires, they donated much to the synagogue and much to the temple. And there came a certain poor widow. What a difference. What a difference with those rich people. And what a difference with those scribes and elders devouring widows' houses. There was a poor widow. She was vulnerable. A widow, she lost her husband. And I think you have to experience that in order to know what it is like, what it feels like. I don't know what it feels like. Opening your eyes in the morning. And again it hits you. He is not there. I was married for so long. We were close to each other. We were bonding and then missing him. That's being vulnerable. And also poor in this case. A poor widow, not a rich widow, but a poor widow. No expectation of her that she would contribute anything to the church, right? Hardly worth to mention her. Why even paying attention to that lady? Look at all those rich people. They donate thousands and thousands of dollars, lots of money, out of their abundance. That is worth so much compared to the gift of this woman. And there came a certain poor widow. You know, widows were cared for in the Bible. Supposed to be. Let me just give you some information on that first. I read in Exodus 22:22, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child." The Lord protecting the vulnerable. Deuteronomy 24, "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field," the wheat harvest, "and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field," oh, there's still one left there, they forgot. "Thou shalt not go again to fetch it, it shall be for the stranger." For the immigrant, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. If you just leave that alone, you accidentally left it, you don't go back, that's for immigrants, that's for migrant workers, that's for poor people, that's for the strangers, and for the fatherless and for the widows. And that's not just an incident. Deuteronomy 24, verse 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, you shake the olive tree because you are harvesting olives, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. And look and say, there are some more. We have to pick them all. No. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And then thou gatherest the grapes of the vine of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, and for the fatherless, and for the widow. So we see it in God's word so clearly. And what a condemnation in Psalm 94, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. They didn't care for them. But the vulnerable in the society were cared for. It was the obligation. It was God's command. Learn to do well, Isaiah 1:17. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. So we learn from that. And now here is a poor widow. And she's coming to church. She does not reason like this. I lost my husband. I've nothing to offer. I can hardly come by. I'm not going to the temple. That God, who was so against me, I'm not going to serve him. I'm bitter. I'm upset. I'm not going to donate anything to that God. I break with that God. He is hard on me. And now I don't care for him. He doesn't exist for me anymore. I'm suffering. God is not part of my life. That's often a response of the heart. When afflictions come, there are problems in our lives, you say, forget it. But she is not bitter. And she comes to the women court. She wants to be there. And she donates into those treasuries. Not much, very little. Some say 2 copper cents. Others reason in a different way and say, no way, you just translate it properly. It's approximately $1 or $2. Whatever it is. She gave very little. But God was worth it. A worthy God. I had to think of another widow. I thought of Naomi, who had left Israel for Moab and lost her husband and lost 2 sons. 2 sons. And she's coming back. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the widow, the woman, was left with her 2 sons and her husband. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. They came back to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She looks so much older and suffering. Is this Naomi? Are you the same woman as left so many years ago? You look different. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Naomi means beloved one or something, or pleasant one. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. The Lord has brought me home empty. Empty, But the Lord has brought her home empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? She does not deny it was affliction of the Lord. He did that. And yet she came back to that God. May I insert this? Are you suffering? Is your life difficult? Was your husband taken away? Your wife taken away? Someone else taken away? Or are you suffering in a different sense? Or may you fall into the hands of that God and yet come back to that God who has taken. Like think of Job. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken. But blessed yet be the name of the Lord. You know, this woman gave all she had because she was yet content. She had enough. She did not have that feeling of, I need more. I'm going to save more money. I'm going to do my utmost. I want yet to be rich. I don't want to be so dependent. She was in a way content. How can you give something away in her situation if you're not content? Just content with something else, right? She had enough, in a sense. God was her portion. So that's the secret here. The Lord just gives us a picture of a God-fearing woman and contrasts that with those religious leaders, which were hypocrites. Never look at their long robes and their greetings and their long prayers. And the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, look at this woman. Look at her. She's given everything she had. She's content with God. She is coming to church. She's not bitter against the Lord. She is not rebelling. She surrenders. She follows. There was a special kind of happiness in this woman, right? How can you be yet happy in those circumstances to even be able to give money? And what about tomorrow? If you give everything away? Well, I don't think we can gather from this that we have to take a vow of poverty, that we all have to give everything away. I don't think that's what it says. This was done voluntarily. But we may wonder, was it wise? If you could ask her, is this wise? You have two of those coins. Why don't you keep at least one? No, I gave them both. Why? What she have said? I think this is what she would have said. He is so worthy of that. And if you would have asked, but what about tomorrow? She would have said, well, I read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm fine. Because the Lord Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So she had faith, right? Faith. She believed in the Lord. She trusted in the Lord. She said, don't worry about me. The Lord worries about me. And she could just confidently give it, trusting the Lord. Amazing. And we have way more money. And we give percentage-wise way less. And we can be so dead worried that I make this year a little less than last year. That is awful. And we can't accept that. And we feel humbled. And we feel humiliated. Because we would like to have those long robes. We'd like to have that image. What a difference. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. All this woman could give it over. And she's in the temple. What a love. What a confidence. What a faith. Yes, what a love. Compare her to, for example, the rich young ruler. He came to the Lord Jesus, right? How can I inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord Jesus looked at him and looked through him and saw that he was committing idolatry with riches. He had much money. And the Lord Jesus said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come back and follow me. And you see the sin in his face. He couldn't do that. If the Lord Jesus would ask you, if he would ask you, sell everything you have, and you will have a treasure in heaven, would you do it? You know, God's people, when they're on their place, they say, yes, I would do it. Nothing more important than God's favor. Nothing else really matters. A treasure in heaven. I would like to also connect this to 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul writes about love, and he calls that in our translation charity. But it is love, love. Whole chapter on 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And I take a piece out of that about giving money, about giving everything. And though I bestow all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have no charity, it profiteth me nothing. So even in giving everything, if there is no love in there, means nothing. So how is that with us? But is there ever love? Like in this lady's heart, there was love. That's why she could give. But she didn't only give much and give everything, there was also love in her heart. The Lord saw how. Also thought of David. David was offered the threshing floor of Arauna for nothing. And he could sacrifice whatever he needed with any cost for himself. And David said no. And the king said to Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. See, this woman was a pilgrim by God's grace. A pilgrim, maybe the loss of her husband had become a blessing for her. Maybe that stopped her. Maybe that was something that hit her heart and was blessed in such a sense that she now saw that this life never satisfies and that she needs something else. A pilgrim. The Lord Jesus often spoke about reward. Reward? Yes. Because the Lord will reward this woman. And he would have rewarded the rich young ruler if he would have sold everything. And the Lord rewards his people, and he rewards Moses, who left all the treasures of Egypt behind and was willing to be afflicted with God's people because he looked upon the recompense of the reward. Those poor people walking in a simple way, following the Lord, are a blessed people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Let me just mention a few texts about that, about the reward. Take heed that ye do not your alms, your gifts before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which art in heaven. See? When people do it openly to be seen of men or to feel good and smug about giving, they have no reward in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee. Really, that's what they did. When the Pharisees came to the treasury, they said, I'm going to donate now. Just blow the trumpets. Servants' attention is asked. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's all they have. They don't get much more. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Rewarding with God's favor. Not that you pay for that. Not that you can merit salvation. Not at all. But those are the fruits of it. Interesting what the Lord Jesus said to the Apostle Peter. And what Peter said after the rich young ruler left. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Any benefit? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Think of missionaries. Sacrificing. Not becoming rich at all. But sacrificing. Sometimes sacrificing families. And if that is done in love, the Lord promised, it yet will be well. But a woman. And what do I see? And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a third thing, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And the Lord Jesus looked at her, and he saw his own image. He saw his own grace. He saw his own giving. He saw himself, the Lord Jesus, saw his own reflection in this woman. And the most important thing is this. She has a Savior. This Lord Jesus says, looking at her, how she put in that money. Looked at her in love. He knew her from eternity. She was his child. So let us look upon that in the second place. See the contrast of those hypocrites and this woman. They were eating the widow's houses. Maybe she was oppressed herself even, and she yet gives, sincerely gives. But you know, in the background is the sincerity of the Lord Jesus himself. Even the Pharisees noticed that. Even the Pharisees noticed that he was sincere. I read that in verse 14. And when they come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true. We know that thou art true. And carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of man, but teachest the way of God in truth. So they know that the Lord Jesus was not interested in his own reputation. He just spoke the truth. And that's still the case. The Lord still speaks the truth. There is no small print at the bottom. It's honest, sincere, transparent, about his threats and his promises, his warnings and invitations. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is true. Congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ is true. That's why she is true. He is truth himself, trustworthy. You can rely on his word and his promises explained. That's a sure foundation. The sincerity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm so afraid of deceiving myself. Yes. But he won't deceive you. His word does not deceive you. You can trust his word. Well, this lady was poor, really poor. The Lord Jesus was rich or not. For you know the grace. I hope you do. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may be rich. May I preach him unto you this morning? He was so rich in heaven, but he did not want the life of such Pharisees, the long robes and greed in the marketplaces. He just quietly went his way and became poor, to make people truly rich. It's only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, is so poor, without God in the world, having no hope, nothing that you may keep, everything fleeting. Seek what you may keep. Because some say, I'm rich, and increased goods, but you have and have need of nothing, but thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I don't know how you feel this morning in church. I hope if you are unconverted that you may feel your blindness and your miserable state and how wretched that you are and how poor, having nothing. You know, when the Lord opens the eyes of people, they may be multimillionaires, and the Lord opens their eyes, they become so poor. They look at their possession, they think, is that all? It does not fill my heart. They can give easier because it does not mean so much to them. Something else, there's a treasure in heaven, God's favor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they may get to know the Lord Jesus himself, that makes such a difference. He was rich, but became poor. And how did the Lord Jesus feel about being poor? He was fine. He did not want to be rich. He was content, and he had only one purpose, the honor of his Father. Through saving his church. Oh, this woman in our text. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Some say she gave all her living of that day. Some say she gave all the living of that week. Others say she gave all the living of the whole year. Some people say, and I agree with that, she gave everything she had, her whole bank account. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it was her desire. But the Lord Jesus, he gave his life, not his living. He gave his life. He sacrificed himself. He wanted to die for the church, to save the people from their sins, to honor his Father. So he loved that he gave himself up unto death. He gave. Really, everything. In a sense, this lady didn't. She gave all her money, but the Lord Jesus gave everything he is and was. Or we love him, or you don't. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, his love. He loved this woman. And he was first in loving her, and she loved him back. And she loved God. And then your whole perspective in life changes. Things so tremendously important, you could be so worked up about. You say, what was I so worried about? And all the things that did not count become immense, important to me. God's grace and God's mercy and God's church. You know, this Lord Jesus, in our text, who saw her and spoke about her and talked to the disciples about her, this Lord Jesus, had a reward as well. He did not save his people for nothing. Reward? He was rewarded with what? Well, listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before him, his bride, his flock, his people. The treasure that was set before the Lord Jesus said, yes, I will do it. I will come down to earth. I will suffer. I will die. I will give everything I have and everything I am to have my church. That is the love and that is the reward set before him. Congregation, spiritually, how much money do you have in your wallet? I draw a parallel line now, because I'm convinced that this is not only speaking about money, but often in parables and in histories like this, there's this second line, the Lord Jesus caring for the vulnerable, for the poor and needy, also spiritually poor and needy. Maybe you feel like a poor widow who cannot contribute anything, or you've only 2 cents. And you say, let me pay a few cents. You don't even have to pay a cent for that. However, one that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that has no money, no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's also in this text. The Lord Jesus also this morning are speaking to us sincerely and in truth, not deceiving anyone. Come unto me, ye that thirsteth. Having no money, doesn't matter. Come. So the Lord Jesus, he is first, and he is last. He is the sincere one speaking here. He saw, and he looks at the hearts, and he knows our hearts as well. We can put up a big front, and making a big show, and be religious, and performing things well. But the Lord knows the heart. The secrets within, if those things are real. And Lord Jesus loves, and he is content, and he gets rewarded, and he had no savior. He was on the cross, lonely as someone can be. Why hast thou forsaken me? He did not deserve that. Congregation, do you have the name that you live? And are you dead? Do you show a form of godliness and have you denied the power of it? Or this Lord Jesus is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. For all they did cast in of their abundance, of their surplus. But she of her want. May I draw another line? There is an abundance. Right? who forgives abundantly. There's plenty of mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about all your money. Forget about all your good works. Leave it all at home and come with empty hands to that Savior Jesus Christ to seek your salvation only in Him. And He says, let me pay. Don't even try to pay. But in abundance, she of her want did cast in all that she had. And the Lord Jesus, He paid all He had to pay. So sufficient is His sacrifice that is sufficient for the expiation of the sins of the entire world. So abundant. And if you're trying to please the Lord with something, with donating money, or with something else to perform well before the Lord, really? You think the Lord needs anything? That's such an offense to think that way. Oh, she has given all her living, but He is that good shepherd who gave His life for His sheep. Oh, this woman, she has given all she had for the Lord, right? And the Lord Jesus, He gave His life to save enemies. Enemies, rebels, that did not care about Him. But He is first and He is last. And what will heaven be like? That God's church will be at His feet and take the crown off from their heads. And give glory to the Lamb, that He was first and He's last. He's the author and He's the finisher of that faith. Seek Him and live. Amen. Almighty Lord, may it please Thee to touch the hearts, to draw people unto that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, who works so powerfully in the hearts that widows come worshiping the Lord. O Lord, all things are possible with Thee. We ask Thee therefore, bless all the suffering that we must suffer. We did not ask for it, but yet, Lord, bless it, and may we yet be content and follow the Lord. Maybe we can't be called Naomi anymore, but Mara. But may we then at least be brought back home to the Lord. Being poor and needy ourselves, and yet rich in Him. Remember us the rest of this day. Bring safely back home, back to the house. Give a desire, Lord, to also come to church tonight. That widow would have been here tonight, or may we be here as well. In Jesus' name alone, amen.